This is Matt Wells at UN News. The newly appointed UN Ebola Response Chief in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, has promised to listen more to the fears and concerns of local people in a bid to end frequent interruptions hampering the fight against the deadly virus. Response Coordinator David Gressley, who's also Deputy Head of UN Stabilisation Mission in the DRC, MONUSCO, told UN News that violence by numerous armed groups, protests and demonstrations, together with political mistrust, had adversely affected the government and World Health Organization-led response. More than 1,280 have died in the country's worst ever outbreak, and Mr. Gressley is heading to the epicentre, Butembo, to work closely with partners and local leaders to finally contain the outbreak. He spoke to UN News' Christina Silveira.
It's a very serious situation on the ground. We're quite worried about the situation. It has continued for now 10 months in terms of the response, but the epidemic has been circulating for over a year now. And one of the key problems that we've seen on the ground is that there have been frequent interruptions in the response, which gives the virus a chance to multiply. And usually 10 to days to 2 weeks later, we see a sharp increase after these interruptions due to sometimes protests, sometimes attacks, physical attacks, and demonstrations, a variety of things that have disrupted the response. And it's important to understand why the attacks are happening, why the protests are happening, etc., so that we can find a way to sustain the response in a way that it's not interrupted, and so that we can bring it to a close. The virus doesn't care. We cannot just use a technical approach to the response. WHO, Ministry of Health in particular, have the skills for that. They have the means on the ground for that. But it's not enough by itself. And you need a larger response that deals with the issues that I've described of security and resistance if you're going to finally put an end to this epidemic.
So the UN has announced that it's strengthening its operations and its strategy. You've been appointed coordinator for the urgent response against Ebola. What are the changes that are going to be made on the ground? Is it just a mere link of positions? Or?
No, that's not the intent at all. The intent is to strengthen the broader support. The technical response led by the Ministry of Health, supported by WHO, will certainly continue. But what will be put in place is a reinforced structure that will be looking at the security issues, the resistance issues more closely. And that will require a much closer work with the local population, local communities, traditional leaders, to understand where their concerns are, why there might be resistance, and build the confidence of the community and the support, most importantly, so that we can create an environment that allows the responders to do their job and to bring this thing to an end. It's also a question of making sure that the people who may have been in contact with victims of Ebola are identified and monitored in terms of their own health, and if they become ill, that they can receive treatment. That's the key to actually breaking the transmission of Ebola. But when that is disrupted and or those identification and that tracking is lost, then the virus will continue to circulate. We're fortunate that it has not gone outside of the immediate area. It's not even covering the whole province. And I think there we have to thank the very good efforts for vaccination that has gone on, that has helped contain it.
Amongst some of the changes, you will be moving the decision-making center or the operations center to Butembo, the current epicenter?
We will be moving the operational decision-making to the center of the epidemic in Butembo. I will go there myself. We will build a team around that to reinforce the teams that are already there. There are senior UN and Ministry of Health personnel on the ground already. I think we have to recognize that. So this is a complement to what's already there. But what's important is that we have rapid decision-making on the ground that's not held up by bureaucracies of various organizations. And that's why the decision was taken to put senior leaders on the ground who can take those decisions based upon what they see on a day-to-day basis. Strategic guidance will stay in Kinshasa. Regional operations will be based in Goma. That does not change. But the day-to-day response and the adapting to each circumstance as it arises can only be done locally.
What are you expecting these changes to mean on the ground, concretely for the population, for the health workers, and for the attackers?
Well, obviously, we wanted to bring the epidemic to a close as quickly as possible. But in order to do that, I think what the local community should expect is a much closer engagement on our part with them to understand their fears, their expectations, to provide clear information about how the epidemic is how it spreads and how it can be treated and contained. These are all extremely important that that work be accelerated on the ground to build that confidence.
Listening? You're going to be listening to the population?
That's it. That is exactly it. You have to listen to the population. They have to tell us what they're thinking. That's what that engagement means. You don't learn much by talking. You learn by listening. So I think that's extremely important. I think people have been frustrated by the lack of being listened to, and it's important to overcome that. So that's extremely important.
Do you have an idea of what is going on, why there is so much mistrust?
You know, the situation there is a bit complex. There's been conflict going on for over 20 years. It's an area of political opposition historically to the government in Kinshasa. So there's a bit of aversion of people coming in from the outside. Secondly, you know, when you see a situation where you have a massive response for one issue, in this case Ebola, where other issues have been neglected for 20 years, people ask questions. It's just a natural human thing. And that's some of the things that need to be talked through. And there may be opportunities to address other issues while addressing the Ebola issue. Talking about the issue of attacks, when there's a strong community acceptance and an actual desire for something, that too can help on the security side. You start getting information that tells you what may or may not happen and how you may want to operate. When that positive relationship is established, and as you rightly said earlier, you do that by listening to what people are thinking and feeling. Then you have the basis to move forward and in a constructive way. So we need to do this. It takes its own time to do this. We don't have a lot of time, so we have to find a way to structure that in an effective way and have an open door policy that allows that information and that exchange to take place as frequently as required for this to be resolved.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned demonstrations before and political climate, which is usually contentious or sees Kinshasa as other. This area wasn't allowed to participate in the recent elections. Is that right?
That is. Well, they were able to, but only after a 3-month delay. And that was a problem because when the announcement was made for the delay in the election in the territories around Beni and Butembo, it was the reason cited by the Electoral Commission was the Ebola outbreak, which created a perception that maybe this was a political issue and not a health issue. Those elections have now taken place, so that's less of an issue today, but that only happened at the end of March. So that time period between it did create that perception. And it was unfortunate because I think it contributed to some of the delays and interruptions that I described.